are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, we are back. Colt Molesky here, and special guest Seth Topol of The Scoop is on today. Seth, thank you so much for joining the show. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Hello, friends. Sorry, I had to.
And we're now officially off air. We're getting sued by CBS. It was a good run while it lasted, I guess.
Sorry, Jim Nantz. I had to.
Great job
we're
by
at,
all.
We're at that point in the year.
Gosh damn it. Seth, you're going to get me put off the air. We're talking basketball today, and we're going to do something different. The Timberwolves aren't going anywhere fast, so we're talking about the NBA playoffs, but we're not talking about which team should make it or shouldn't make it. We're talking about making the route into the playoffs a little more exciting, making the selection into the playoffs a little more exciting. And this is fun for a couple reasons. First of all, it's always nice to tinker and improve with a system you love. And so I'm not saying that the NBA – I'm not one of those guys who says the NBA system is broken by any means, or that because the Western Conference isn't getting 10 teams that all of a sudden the playoffs aren't good anymore. I'm not one of those people. But I do think it's fun to tinker with something that you really enjoy and think about maybe a couple ways it could be even more fun. That said, just looking at this playoff slate, Seth, there's a chance that we could have the Thunder and the Warriors play in the first round of the playoffs. That's a pretty damn good playoffs already.
Yeah, that one. Let's just keep that one as is because that is super spicy, and I love everything that series would bring. And I mean, you could even take the 2 and the 7 and leave those two as is as well. But yeah, that 1-8, that's about as good as it gets. And let me hit you with an idea right off the bat that I want to gauge your interest on, and I want to see where you're at with it.
All right, shoot.
So you take the 8 teams that have not, the 8 teams that are eliminated from playoff contention, throw them into an 8-team bracket with, I don't know, they've got like 3 weeks before the playoffs start, between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs. So you throw all those 8 teams into a bracket. Winner of that bracket gets to play the 8 seed in a play-in game to face the 1 seed.
I like that a lot.
Right?
Kind of taking the March Madness, the March Madness aspect and rolling it over.
I mean, think about it. Like, you've got the Kings, who are about the closest team to the Thunder. They're 6.5 back. So the Thunder, you know, they may be to the point where they're kind of taking the foot off the accelerator a little bit. Imagine having them have to sweat it out and watch who they would end up playing. Plus, then you get a chance to maybe have LeBron James get a little re-energized. It opens it up so that all of these have to sweat it out against a complete wild card, whoever is playing the hottest.
Yeah, I'm super fine with it. I'm super fine with that system. I like that you're kind of having to, if you're an NBA team, you're kind of having to watch these other guys as you're going into it, and there's a little more level of uncertainty. And obviously, there's you're not locked in by any means right now. Like, Brooklyn could maybe bump down 2 spots or move up a spot in the next 10 games if they play really well. But I think that adds a few more variables, I would say, you know, and makes you a little bit more unsure of the next move, and maybe makes that first round harder because you weren't exactly planning on playing that team or that first game.
I have another level to add to this too. You take the bottom 8 in the West and you flip and put them so that whoever wins out of that little mini tournament, that team plays the 8 seed in the East. Because you've got all of these Western Conference teams that are playing okay. You look at the there are a few teams that will be missing the playoffs from the East that are, you know, they're right around or slightly under 500. So they would match up perfectly against some of these teams in the Western Conference. And then you look at those teams that maybe were in the playoffs throughout the year and they kind of fall out at the last minute. So they're playoff tested as well. So you throw them in from the East against the West. I don't know. I think we might be onto something here.
I think you are onto something. I kind of like that cross-conference idea, too, of playing. You're playing some bottom of the standings guys against each other in the two conferences. I don't know. I think that'd be kind of fun to have, like, Detroit playing against San Antonio in a series. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, because then you eliminate this whole thing, and this goes back to an idea that has been posed time and time again of getting rid of the conferences and just going strictly one all the way down to 16 and doing a bracket that way so that we eliminate some of these Warriors-Rockets matchups that we've had in the past. I think then you kind of start to go down that path by saying, look, we don't really care about Eastern Conference versus Western Conference as much. We're trying to drum up a little new interest, and I think this would be a step towards that at some point where they say, yeah, we're throwing the conferences out the window, and we're just going to do a 16-team bracket.
I mean, I'm here for it. I like it. I have something to send across the bow here for you.
Okay.
So we make it where you have six teams on each side. So you have six teams on each side, or maybe we even go to five teams on each side. And those bottom two to three teams, instead of going and playing each other in a series or going and playing each other in a bracket or like a one-on-one, like a one-round game, just one-and-done type of game, you have your team vote. You have your coaches and your team vote on who represents you, and then you send one player to an LA fitness gym in LA, and you just have so it'd be like it, for example, if it was like Utah, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, you'd send like Russell Westbrook and Donovan Mitchell and I don't know DeRozan, and they have to play one on one to a game of 11, and you just have them kind of round robin. So you have them like draw straws, and the first two to play, so Donovan Mitchell and maybe Russell Westbrook, and then Donovan Mitchell wins, or whoever wins then plays DeMar DeRozan, and so that's how you decide who gets to the playoffs. So it's really six slots, but those bottom three teams are playing for that last slot in just a one-on-one who has the best guy.
Oh my word, that could work.
And the best part is if the league is worrying about money, like I would definitely watch that. I would definitely watch Russell Westbrook and Donovan Mitchell play one-on-one. And those gyms, there's like you can like put folding chairs around the corner or around the court. How much do you think people would pay to watch that in person? Like $10,000 a seat?
I would pay 30 times that.
So
one game.
So I feel like you're still making some money off of that. I think it's really cool because it's always like people love watching the 3-on-3 stuff. People like watching basketball players go 1-on-1. I don't care what you say. Isolation, seeing one dude go against one dude and seeing who can just be the better basketball player without anybody around them is always fun. Basketball as a team sport is fun as well, but it's always fun to see you guys go one-on-one with each other. And you have this crazy important playoff spot on the line, which makes it even more cool.
Well, yeah, and there's intrigue as to, like, if you're a team that is, say, Golden State, I mean, it's pretty obvious who you're going to throw out there, but at the same time, you have three different options as to who you could potentially throw out. I mean, you could throw Steph out there, and then you might have a team that says, okay, well, they're probably going to go this way, so why don't we go with a big and just try to force them to drive to the basket, block the shot. So you could see some matchups where it's point guard on center. I really like this idea.
I know that's the fascinating thing. You bring up a really good point, is that if it's the Warriors, but you know for a fact like LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be the guy that's the San Antonio Spurs send, maybe you send Curry and you just hope he can hit a bunch of threes before LaMarcus does anything. But also, like, maybe you send Durant, somebody a little bigger to get with it, to body him a little bit more in the paint. And another thing too is like, say like Miami sneaks into the playoff in the Eastern Conference. Right now they are in the eighth seed, and say they are in the playoffs when it's all said and done. But if you're having the players and coaches vote, I'd be fascinated to see who Miami sends. Like, is it Justice Winslow? Is it Josh Richardson? Do they send a Dwayne Wade? Like, I would be fascinated to see which guy some of these teams end up sending. Like, Philadelphia, who gets voted in that locker room? Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid? I would be absolutely fascinated to see who goes for these teams. It'd be interesting because I think you could tell not only what teams think about certain players, but also maybe like what kind of a teammate guys are in the locker room.
Would a team
what the send trust a factor coach? Is like.
Would there be a team that would say, hey, we're going to send our head coach, Luke Walton?
I think the Lakers maybe are weird enough where that's a possibility. Where it's like a weird situation where all the young guys feel butthurt that LeBron tried to trade them. It's like, you know what? Screw you. We're going to send somebody else. Here's Caldwell Pope.
Does Charlotte send Michael Jordan?
I feel like yes, only because he might hit the other player.
Oh.
Which is a real factor. I think this is really fun, and I always enjoy when there's a potential to put when there's a potential to really destroy a team's locker room, it's always a little fun too. Like, I can see, like, this is also something that could break the, like, this is a scenario that could, obviously they're the number one seed, they would not have to be in the system, but just pretending they were, this is like something that could break, like, their kind of locker room, where you always already have guys like Draymond Green and Durant who seem to not really like each other, or like, I don't know, like, if the Wolves got to the playoffs and, like, Wiggins didn't go, like, I can definitely see him just not showing up to the Target Center for, like, 3 weeks.
Well, and then I have another idea in addition to all of these. So every time I advance through a season in 2K, they have some rules that are proposed and either ratified or...
Oh, boy, here we go. He's mentioning 2K because he's mentioning 2K and I know he's about to get excited. I'm going to make you take a break because I have some sponsors. And then
what a tease. What a tease.
A professional tease right there. We're going to get to some sponsors and then we're going to keep talking about what things we would do to the playoffs to maybe make them a little more entertaining, a little more fun. First, some sponsors. WhizCam is an indoor camera that does it all. It is packaged with premium features that allow you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. 180p full HD. Images so clear you won't miss a thing. Night vision, two-way audio. Their mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. Check on your home anytime with the app, live stream, connect with life as it unfolds in sharp focus. And right now, for just $10 more, just $10 more. So it's $20 a month, just $10 more. If you want more, WhizCam gives you 360 coverage under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. 110 degree rotation speed, 360 horizontal range, 93 vertical range. Patrol your room with the pan scan, set the camera patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints, track the action. It's rolling out a 14-day cloud storage as well. Free 14-day cloud storage. So all that storage, you can track what's going on in your house. You can check up on everybody, make sure everybody's okay, make sure if you're gone, nobody's busted in. So go check it out. Best way to keep your home secure. We also want you to make clear this works for your mobile phone from anywhere. So check out what's happening on your house from anywhere. Go check out wizcam.com/podcast/LockedOnWolves. Locked on Wolves. Wizcam.com. Locked on Wolves. To get the guaranteed lowest price. All right. Seth, you have an idea. 2K inspired. Let's hear it.
Sudden death overtime.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. I told you I was gonna bring some spice and some seasoning to this because we're trying to give the people what they want, and those are two of the hottest takes I've had in quite some time.
Jeez. So you would have to really know your five. If your team going into overtime, you have to really know your five. Also, and the Warriors would never lose an overtime game.
Oh, no, not a chance. You just get the ball to Steph, and you just let him do his thing.
How are we deciding who gets the first possession? Because it can't just be the standard way, right? It can't just be next possession, like the end of a – like if it was the end of a half.
Yeah, it would have to be a jump. Oh, I've got it. It's a jump ball, but whatever player jumps is the only player that can score.
Ooh. Okay, right? So you don't just roll out your center.
No. You could, but then they have to be the one to score.
Interesting. Wow. I like this a lot.
It adds, so then if you're playing Houston, I mean, obviously James Harden jumps, but who then, as the opponent, who do you have, like, let's say it's the Timberwolves. I mean, you'd throw Cat in there because he's probably your...
If they threw anyone else in, I would immediately turn off the TV because the game is already over.
Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, my gosh.
It adds a level of intrigue because there are teams where you've got that top option where that's the way that you're going to go regardless. But if you are a team, if you're a team that is thinking, well, we just want to get the ball first, then I feel like you go big and then you just have to work the ball inside.
Well, this is interesting too, because if you're a team like Houston and you're going against San Antonio and you know that it's sudden death and they have LaMarcus Aldridge jump, like maybe you probably don't have James, obviously you don't want to have James Harden jump against him, but maybe you also change your lineup too. Like because you know that it's going to be him jumping, like maybe you throw out like Nene and Clint Capella as opposed to running small ball just because you've got to stop him this possession.
Mm-hmm. And you know his bread and butter is going to be that mid-range, so then you just double him. Like that would be the interesting thing too, is like you'd have teams that would throw all five guys. Like, could you imagine five players on defense just blanketing Steph Curry?
And then like four dudes set screen after screen. That's the thing too, is that like
he still scores anyway.
That's the thing, is that if this happened to Curry, they already do that thing where they run like two or three screens on top of each other and he just runs along them on the top of the key to get free. Like, they're actually perfectly set up for this scenario for some reason.
Steve Kerr has thought this out clearly.
Apparently. Jeez. Dear God. I like that. I like that a lot. I have another one. The bottom two teams have a draft, and for a 10-day contract, they can draft up to two for each roster, up to two players on their roster they can draft from the teams that didn't make it in the playoffs or outside the playoffs. So, like, for example, Oklahoma City and San Antonio would be the teams in the Western Conference, and they could draft anybody from the Kings, Timberwolves, Lakers, Pelicans, Grizzlies, Mavericks, or Suns. Both teams get two players. So you have a four-person draft, and you can draft anybody from those teams.
Well, I know what the Thunder, I know what the Thunder would do with their first pick. They would run to the podium, and they would probably grab Cat, I would guess. Well, no, they've got Steven Adams.
Nerlens Noel. Well, here's the interesting thing, too, is it's based heavily on need, right? So, like, San Antonio, yeah, I think, would take Cat right away. Yeah. Funnily enough, I'm not sure if anybody of these teams would take LeBron James, but I think that San Antonio would take Cat. Let's just play this out. So if we're doing two for each team, San Antonio takes Cat. I think Oklahoma takes Conley.
And yes, I like that.
And then I think they also go with like gosh, Marvin Bagley has been really good. But I think they go with maybe a Luka or Marvin Bagley, somebody who they can swing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then San Antonio might actually take it's crazy, but they might actually take Drew Holiday before they take a guy like...
That would be a really good fit.
Because here's the thing. They lost their point guard, their defensive point guard before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
And so Drew Holiday or De'Aaron Fox would both be good picks for them and both fill that DeJounte Murray role,
yes,
that they lost right away from the beginning of the season. Which, by the way, I still hate that like every single – I think about that once a week. I love DeJounte Murray so much last year.
Yeah, and that's like – go figure, Pop has overcome it, obviously, and they are solidly in the playoffs. But, right when it looked like they were going to be able to, hey, maybe this will finally be one of those Dark Horse Spurs teams, and, yeah, right before the season, nah, I think we'll take something away.
Yeah, and then you have Lonnie Walker and all the injuries with him. I think that's the four I could probably see getting drafted. If you go to the East, if we're doing this system, if you go to the East, right now it'd be Detroit and Miami. I think Miami definitely, or really whoever picks first, both these teams would love to have Kemba Walker. I think Miami takes Bradley Beal. I think Zach LaVine ends up on one of these teams. Trae Young.
I would think that Zach LaVine would be a great fit for Detroit because they don't have a ton of perimeter shooting.
They don't have a backcourt, Seth. They haven't had a backcourt in like 2 years.
If he you slot him in and you fix that problem, and then he can just rain from deep and just let Drummond go grab the rebounds.
Luke Kennard, I think, is their third scorer, their third highest scorer since the All-Star break.
Ick.
Yeah. Ick. So if you had a draft, basically it'd be guards that both these teams are taking, because if you're looking at it, they're running Justice Winslow's actually run the point pretty well, but you're running a ton through Justice Winslow. Dragic is coming off the bench. As much as I love Waiters Island, maybe he needs some help. So I think that both these teams would go with Kemba Walker, Bradley Beal, Trae Young, Zach LaVine, and in no particular order to no particular roster.
Or does Detroit go super big and do they get Vucevic from Orlando?
Dear God. Lord have mercy if they
get... Just the triangle big and just have all three of them just outside the paint.
Poor Dwayne Casey's just like, okay, this is our chance. We can get some point guards in the back. And the front office is like, nah, double down on the size.
And then before the game, they permit goaltending. And those guys just swat everything.
Dear Lord. I mean, if you're going that route, just go to Charlotte. Get Biombo. Or not Biombo. He's Miami. Who's the dude from Toronto? The super big dude. Who got the huge contract from Here, I'm only looking up the roster. Bismack Biyombo. Not. There we go.
I like to call him the SWAT.
I mean, if you're eliminating goaltending, then it's fine. But otherwise, I think it's guards. I don't know. I think this is just fun because you're getting more all-stars in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. that should never be a problem.
Yeah, and then, like, the other thing, too, is short of an injury, which then they would work out some kind of compensation. But short of an injury, it's like, look, our top players aren't in the playoffs for us, but they're in the playoffs for other teams. And so they say, well, yeah, it would be nice to make the playoffs here, but still got a taste of that.
Yeah, get the fan base involved.
Could you imagine, like, Bulls fans rooting for the Pistons in the playoffs?
I cannot see that, but I can definitely see Bulls fans rooting for Miami. The one unfortunate part would be if you were the Bucks and all of a sudden a pretty frisky Miami team also had, like, Kemba Walker and Bradley Beal, I would be furious if I was a Bucks fan.
Yeah, that would be – there would be so much fight on this from some of those top seeds because they're like, well, wait a minute, then we get nothing? Like, well, yeah, that's how we drew it up, but, yeah.
It does neutralize the value of that – one seed down to basically home court advantage. But I don't know.
We'd have fewer sweeps, which I think would be something that fans would be on
for. I think that we would have no sweeps, honestly. I know that it's tougher because you're going to a new system and there's probably going to be some stuff that goes a little wrong. But also, you're putting all, like, Kemba Walker and Bradley Beal are all-star level players. You're telling me that they wouldn't swing two games for Miami against the Bucks? You're crazy.
Yeah. Well, and Dwayne Casey would just tell Zach LaVine, look, just attack. Just shoot. We're in desperate need of someone to score from outside, so do it.
Just get to the rack. All right, let's take another break. Do you have any more? I have one more.
I could come up with one.
Let's get to a break, do one more, and then I'll release you. But let's get to a break first. All right, Cole Molesky, Seth Tobel. We have been making the playoffs better slowly but surely. And I have one more that's more of like a practical versus anything else. But I was looking at these teams. And so the Bucks have a bunch of injuries. It would really be a bummer if the Bucks played really well this entire year. And because, I would have no problem with having Giannis in the finals, and then mm-hmm. he gets sidelined by injuries. Another one, Indiana, great team. I really love Victor Oladipo, and then he gets injured, and now they've still managed to stay in that top four spots, but it seems tough. I like them as an Eastern Conference Finals, like, dark horse, and now it seems tough for them just to make it out of that first round just because you're losing a guy who can take over that fourth quarter and score at will. And so I was thinking, just kind of rolling over this draft idea, just for teams who have major injuries, and you'd have to help me clarify what a major injury would be like, because you can't draft, you maybe not drafting a guy for Kemba, like a guy like Kemba Walker when your fourth point guard is injured. But like, so Indiana is an example. They lose a shooting guard. So you're able to go through the teams that didn't make the playoffs and take one shooting guard off those rosters for the playoffs. So like in this situation, you replace Victor with Bradley Beal as an injury, almost like an injury substitute on the All-Star team.
Sure. Do you base it off of like PER? And so you had a player who had such and such PER before he got hurt. Well, then, if there are any players that are close to that level, just as a way to try to kind of even it out, because let's say if you lose your fourth point guard, then you're going to try and go and grab, like, Trae Young or somebody. It's like, whoa, we can't have that happen.
I would base it off of minutes, just because I don't want, like, I don't want some, like, forward buried on Brooklyn's roster that averages like 5 minutes a game but has this crazy PR for some reason. Sure. You know, like those weird loopholes. I think the minutes have to be comparable.
Okay.
So, like, if you lose a shooting guard that was averaging 30 minutes a game, you can go out and grab a shooting guard that was averaging, let's put, like, 29 to 32 minutes per game, somewhere in there. Okay. Put some parameters so it's about the same. So then if you lose, like, a center who is averaging 15 minutes a game, and you probably, at that point, you're probably not even replacing him, but just so that if that's your, like, your really only injury, then you're not replacing with a center that was averaging 30 minutes a game. So that's probably where I would put it.
I like that one.
But I hate it. I hate so much when, like, you go into the playoffs and, like, last year when, like, Kyrie's out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Boston Celtics are crippled and Gordon Hayward's out. And so then you have to say, oh, well, this team, it would have been, I mean, and they still made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, granted, but, like, what would they have done in the finals with this team if they had been injured? I hate looking back and wondering because of injury. And this is a fun way, too. You're still keeping really good players that didn't make the playoffs in this in the playoffs. You're making sure that a team isn't penalized, or that you're getting. I just don't want. I want the series to be their max potential. So, like, if the Warriors sweep a team, that's fine. The Warriors swept a team. I'm not saying that this is necessarily a reason to avoid sweeps. But, like, Indiana is the fourth team right now without their best player, and so, like, we're going to get robbed of what could have been for not only Pacers fans, but for, like, anybody who just enjoys watching a guy like Victor Oladipo play and this team play, where you're going to get robbed of maybe a really cool run through the playoffs for them. And while it might not be the same for the fans because it's not your guy, I think that it still would be awesome to give them a fair shot with an actual complement roster.
Yeah, I agree. There's nothing worse than that injury right before. Just like what Portland had to deal with Yusuf Nurkic, who was playing arguably the best basketball of his career, and now he's done. And Portland is a 4 seed.
Oh my gosh, that was! Did you see that video?
Kind of.
Holy balls!
I didn't see the exact incident. I saw the ref kick him afterwards, which was pretty disgusting, but I don't think I'm going to see the actual injury.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Why are you hitting his leg?
That's so dumb.
It was bending the wrong way in the wrong spot, and you're just like, okay, let's get along.
That's so stupid. Like, I hope they won't, but I hope they would look at that incident and say, yeah, we're going to fine this official, but they won't.
I watched the video. I looked it up at work last night, and I watched it.
Ugh.
It's super gross.
Hard pass. Not gonna do it.
The only thing that kept his foot on is his sock.
Oh, okay. Yep, I'm definitely not gonna look now. That is enough.
It was rough. Alright, we gotta head out here. If you have one more, you can pitch it to me right now if you want. You don't have to have one.
I've got one more. First round playoff series is one game.
Yeah, super simple, one and done.
Game 7, so you see teams do drastic things to try to win that game just to continue in the playoffs. I think that would be really compelling.
I think that makes it interesting, too, for a team like the Warriors. Because, like, obviously an eight seed isn't going to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. But, like, I don't know. I know Curry was up, but the Warriors just lost to the Mavericks pretty bad. Like, maybe if they're just, like, not locked in, or something's, like, going funky in the locker room that day for some reason, or I don't know, something could happen, and all of a sudden the Warriors are down 8 points in the third quarter to, like, San Antonio.
Ew.
Could be a problem.
Yeah, well, you play them all in one day, so then you've got another March Madness type feel.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Let's do it.
I like it. All right, that's Seth Topol, and he has been helping me make the playoffs just a little bit better, maybe just a little bit more exciting. It's been a lot of fun. I was excited for this, and as anticipated, I enjoyed it greatly. Make sure you're going and checking out Seth's show, The Scoop. You can check out the podcast and go download Seth. That's basically everywhere you download your podcast, right? iTunes, yep. Stitcher, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And we're adding to more platforms. We will be, but basically iTunes. I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Seth Topes, SethTOups, all one word. And I throw out all the links every day. So that's probably the best spot to find it.
All right, there we go. Go check it out. Make sure you're getting up to date on all types of Minnesota sports content. Thank you for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.